Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam are unpacking last Sunday's message about the power of grace. We're talking about the grace offered to us through Jesus, the power of God bringing dead things to life, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these powerful truths and how they apply to our daily lives. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Overflow. I'm Nate, the pastor at Osage Hills Christian Church, and I have with me Mark.
Hello.
And Adam.
Hello.
They also serve on staff here. But today, as we go through some things about this last weekend's message and also kind of cover why we do some of the things that we do, the first on the docket is to look at the things that we do. This week is spring break here in our area.
Yes, it is.
And there are some awesome things planned for our middle school and high school students. Why don't you tell us what some of those things are, Adam, and why you chose this specifically?
Yeah, so this Thursday and Friday, so if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it would be tomorrow and Friday, although sort of tries to be evergreen. But what we're doing is we've put together a couple service days for middle school and high school students. And so what we're doing is Thursday, we're going to go to the food bank here in the Tulsa area and help pack and sort food for distribution to those who are living with food insecurity. We're going to do that in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're going to do a kind of a fun outing. Right now, I think we're going to try to go see the new Snow White film. Something fun that the kids will enjoy.
Interesting.
And so that's what we'll do Thursday. And then Friday morning, we are going to work with Hospitality House of Tulsa. If you're not familiar with Hospitality House of Tulsa, what they do is it's an organization. It's a faith-based Christian organization that supplies housing to family members of those who are in kind of long-term hospital care. So, for example, let's say, you know, you have a loved one who is dealing with something chronic or is receiving treatment for cancer, but maybe you live outside of, I think the radius is like 60 miles or something like that. So, which is easy to do here in Northeast Oklahoma. You know, you can be from a town outside of an easy day's drive, but still have Tulsa be your main place. So what Hospitality House does is they've converted an old apartment complex into like little studio apartments for families to stay. So instead of, you know, living in a hospital waiting room for 2 weeks, these families can come stay at Hospitality House 2 weeks at a time. And then they can, of course, reapply and get back on the list. But it's just a place for them to have something that feels like home when their loved one is receiving care. And so what we're going to do for Hospitality House is we're going to actually do a program that they call Meals of Love, where we're going to be here at the church. We're going to cook a couple large casseroles, some side dishes, and we're going to get those all together and take them to Hospitality House so that they can feed their guests.
Nice.
One of the things they try to do is provide a hot meal, right? Because if you've ever spent any time in a hospital waiting room, you're eating junk. You're eating out of the vending machine. If you can get to the cafeteria, it's not that the food's bad. It's just, it's not home cooked, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to be providing meals for those families. And we're also going to be creating care packages that are going to have just things to help these families, you know, feel normal or not be bored. So we'll put like Sudokus in and some personal care items and things like that.
Okay.
That's what we'll do in the morning. And then Friday afternoon, we're going to go to Tulsa Glass Blowing School, which is a cool program that my girls got to do. And your students are actually going to get to create a piece of blown glass art. So it'll be a flower or a paperweight, I think.
Awesome.
So that's what we're doing. The reason behind what we're doing here is I think it's you know, it talks about one of our reaches. We're going to reach out. We're going to go out and serve our community. And you know, obviously be impactful with the work that we do. But more than that, we're going to, you know, be able to be the hands and feet of God and go out and serve some needs in our community that are very apparent. And so I wanted our students to, you know, obviously spring break, we're going to have a blast. It's going to have a lot of fun. But it was more important to me that we start each day with a service project. And we'll be talking through like what it means to serve and how these actions aren't just filling a box or aren't just cooking a casserole, But in no uncertain terms, it's showing the love of Christ by providing for those who are in need and need comfort. And awesome. So that's our plan for Thursday and Friday. If your kiddo hasn't signed up yet, it's Wednesday when you're hearing this. I need to know today. Like, I need to know, I would say by 3 o'clock, because I need to purchase tickets and things like that. So there is still time as you're hearing this, unless you're hearing it after 3 o'clock, and then there is no time. But if you have a student who hasn't registered yet, I need to know ASAP so I can get them registered and waivers and all that fun stuff done. So
awesome.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, Nate.
Thanks for that.
Mark. You're not Nate. You're Mark. Yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing.
Moving on.
Yeah. We also have a few other things coming up pretty soon. Actually, at the end of this month, we have a family service.
Family.
Yeah. That's the weekend that we have our kids come into the big church with their parents and worship together. Mark, you want to speak to that and say kind of some of the reasons why we do this?
Yeah. Thanks, Nate. I'd love to. Thank you. So Family Sunday for us as the staff and as pastors is a very intentional and special service because we recognize that in Western Christianity at large, there has become almost a schism or a divide between children and adults in worship. Family worship is not mainstream anymore. I think at some point it was, you know, families would gather around the piano at the home or the guitar and they would sing songs together. And
even church services.
The dad would lead a family devotional. But so often now families don't engage with that. And so not in any way trying to replace that, because I think that families should be doing that at home. We wanted to offer an opportunity, even if it's sporadic, for kids to be able to look and see their parents worshiping God, to see them take communion and engage with the elements, to see them be generous, so that it's modeled by their parents and, you know, not go their whole childhood through children's church programming and not experience that with their parents. Mm-hmm. So that's really the heart behind Family Sunday, is to give families an opportunity to worship together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we sculpt the service around that awareness that families are going to be worshiping together as well. So it does stand out as a unique service from what we would consider normal, right? So we divide it up. Sometimes we have in-service conversations. Sometimes we don't. But the idea is to be aware that there are people of all ages in the room and that we are, trying to speak to everybody. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
With us about Family Sunday. Honestly, it's some of the Sundays that I really look forward to them. I look forward to having the kids in the service.
I look forward to every Sunday, Nate. But
I do too. Mark. But
I look forward to every Sunday.
It's a special weekend, right?
Every Sunday is special.
Anytime the saints gather to worship our Lord and Savior, I think you
stop it right
very
now.
Very special.
Let the man have a feeling about positivity.
I didn't say he couldn't have the feeling.
Well, sort of.
You know what makes it exciting for me?
What
is
that,
Nate? To see kids in there worshiping with their parents.
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
One of the greatest tasks that's been assigned to a parent is to disciple their kids in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if they spend their entire childhood not watching their parents worship and not participating with them, I feel like that is a problem.
Big time.
And so it's our attempt to try and change that. And we don't do it all the time. We just try and give people that opportunity. And we don't have programs to discourage that from ever happening on any other week.
Right.
If you want to bring your kids in there to worship with you, you bring your kids in there to worship.
100%.
And also the way that our services are sculpted right now is that the kids are in there for a majority part of the service, but then they go and have their own lesson. But this time, everybody participates in all of it together.
Yeah.
And there isn't a separation per se.
Right.
So.
Yep.
But yep. Awesome.
Correct.
And then after that, April 6th.
Yes.
Is starting point.
Yes, it is.
So this.
Hey, Mark, what is starting point?
Starting point is the point in which you start your journey.
Okay. We're in rare form today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
With Osage Hills.
With right? Osage Hills.
I felt like I was doing a great job. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Starting point is an opportunity for people, whether you are new or you've been attending for a long time, for you to eat a delicious meal.
Absolutely.
To meet the staff and some other key leaders of Osage Hills and learn how to go about connecting Christ to where you live. And we do that by giving you various tools and resources that you can actually approach and have conversations with those who are close to you but far from God, ultimately wanting to go through all of the reaches up, down, across, and out, which will hopefully result in a person living a completely surrendered life to Christ, thus bringing in one from their life and starting the cycle over alongside them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Starting Point is in a nutshell, and you should come.
Yes, you should.
And if you signed up for the last one but were unable to attend, which happened, sign up again and come to this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say just even if you've been to it before, like I think you mentioned that if you're brand new or if you've been here or if you need a refresher, right?
Sure.
Like I think the value of Starting Point, there's multiple values to it, but I think it is – it's resourcing or maybe even being re-resourced.
Mm-hmm.
And then also that, I mean, it's so funny. It's such a joke. But like if you feed somebody a meal, like there's a lot there. It's not just food, right? It's the opportunity to connect and to meet people and to spend time with people that you may not in the normal flow of a Sunday. I would encourage everybody who's interested in it, just be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you have kids, you can still come. We
Please.
Will feed them, and we will have childcare provided.
Yep.
So they will do their own thing while we talk about that. And it's also just it is a special, unique opportunity that I think is really beneficial to anyone who sets foot in the church.
Yeah, for sure.
So because it's not just catered to explaining the vision of Osage Hills and how you can partner with us and what we're doing to connect Christ to where we live, but also to be empowered and then also and commissioned to take the gospel with you everywhere you go so that it can become a regular thing in your life, not just something that you think that the church does or someone else can do or anything like that. It's awesome. Awesome opportunity.
Yep.
So, and then just a few weeks later, we have Easter. So, be thinking about who, if you're a Christian, be thinking about who you can invite to be a part of the church.
Right.
And to celebrate our awesome God who died and rose again for us.
Right.
Up from the grave he rose.
Thank you, Mark.
With a mighty triumph for his foes.
That was an early one.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of speak to that, Nate. Like, I'm just trying to get us back on track here, gentlemen.
I'm on track.
Sure are. If you're a Christian, like if you're listening to this podcast and you have faith in Christ and you're a member of a church, you know, Nate said, think about who you're going to be inviting. Yeah, I won't scream it because that would be loud and hurt your ears. But I mean, culturally, we know that people come to church in the part of the country that we're in. People come to church on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Christmas and Easter are the two big times where people's hearts are just culturally open to being at church.
Yeah.
Capitalize on this, guys. Invite people to come to church this Easter.
Right. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great weekend. All right. So now let's pivot into what happened this last weekend and some of the things that we heard. From Adam. Last week, this past Sunday, Adam preached on grace.
G-R-A.
God's grace. And specifically in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is, I'll read the passage. Let me use the ESV here. And it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, what up? That's like,
it's so awesome.
But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What a powerful, powerful segment mm-hmm. of a very powerful letter.
Yeah.
And this, and Adam, I think you did a great job talking about this. And it doesn't ever get old to talk about God's grace.
No.
And some of the things that really came to mind to me, and I just want to share them. There's not too long ago, we did like a super in-depth series on the book of Ephesians. Now, I've always loved Ephesians. It's incredible. If you want to know what the church is supposed to look like, go read Ephesians. Mm-hmm. There you go. If you want to know what your household is supposed to look like, go read Ephesians. It'll help you out. If you want to know how to battle the spiritual powers that constantly wage war against your soul and try and trip you up and keep you instead of keeping you in Christ, go read Ephesians. You'll know how to battle it. But this entire segment, the first three chapters, are kind of a uniquely structured portion that really gives the weight to the last three chapters of the book. And it's chiastic in nature. It's a unique, basically, it's a structural term of how the whole segment, chapters 1 through 3, are formed to create a pervasive thought. And right before the main point comes, is this segment, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It's interesting, though, that before the main point comes this. Because without this part, you cannot get to what the main point is. It is the development of what gets you to where God wants you to be, which is a part of his community. Mm-hmm. And what the thrust of Ephesians is the development of the community of Christ to become the mature man, to become who God wants them to be, to unify both Jews and Gentiles under one single banner, the name of Jesus, and to live that way in the world. And it cannot happen. It cannot happen unless you are found in Jesus. You are found with faith in Christ, receiving God's grace. If it hadn't been for God's grace, none of this would have been possible.
Right.
So if Christ hadn't gone to the cross and been elevated by God, none of this would have been possible. Christ completely and fully fulfilled everything required to bring God's people together so that everyone can find forgiveness and live the way that God designed them to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's a powerful aspect of what this passage is. We are brought into new life. I like how Paul starts this at the beginning here in verses 1 through 3, he tells us what we once were. It's very important to recognize that when in Christ, things are going to be different. They're not going to be the same.
Right.
They're going to be, actually, it's light and dark difference. And he goes into that later on. So he says, you once walked this way. You used to follow the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air. And man, that is, that's a tough thing to swallow. And it's a tough thing to realize, I think. that outside of Christ, we are following a sinister being who is designing a way or structure of life that is meant to pull you away from God and be, kind of lumped in this group of people who will discover that there is one, and by then it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's terrifying. But then he says that pivotal phrase, but God did something to remedy this. God gave us an opportunity for this. And then as the entirety of Ephesians continues to move on, it becomes evident that, man, if there are a number of people who are in the world who do not realize that they are following the course of the world that is being influenced by something very sinister,
right,
that is leading people in a direction of a terrible end, and God's grace is freely available to them, who's going to be the people to tell them? Who's it going to be? And then aren't those who have been recipients meant to tell other people about this awesome grace that is in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Are they not? And the answer is, of course they are. Why? Because you've been made new. You've been made new. You are His workmanship now. You are created new in Christ to do the things that God had planned beforehand,
yeah,
to live the way that God designed beforehand, the thing that He wants to see in you. And so I don't know. This elevates, for me personally, this elevates my purpose as a Christ follower and helps me kind of see a better perspective on just how I need to be letting people know about this saving grace and how it's, and God's taking care of something. It's not about anything that you can do. You don't have to measure up. And it's something that you really hit on very well, Adam, is that you don't have to measure up before you come to God. God just says, hey, I'll make you measure up.
Yeah.
You just come to me. You just express faith that you believe that this grace is enough. We'll work on the transformation right afterward.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, Mark, I thought you were going to say something.
Well, I was.
But okay, go for it.
No. Canadian standoff.
Well, okay, fine.
I insist.
Yeah.
I insist.
So I think, thanks, Mark. So this, you know, I mentioned it as kind of as I was opening my sermon. This verse is incredibly personal to me. And there's passage like this, because it's really, and I said at some point that I think the reason I was so excited to talk about this is I think that this is one of the things. There are many things in God's word that, I mean, in God's word in and of itself is just wholly transformational, right? I think this concept of grace is something that I struggled so hard to understand. And honestly, like if I'm being completely transparent, it's something I still don't know that we're able to fully comprehend it. But this was a concept for me, like in my life, especially before I was, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, between high school, early college years, and really, you know, maybe even into my early 30s, late 20s, early 30s ish, where I could probably fall into like the cultural Christian description, right? And that has a buzzword and it has a connotation now that is not wholly fair, but like basically what I mean is, you know, I fell into this group where, you know, I believed in God, I believed in Jesus, but I hadn't fully accepted, you know, what His sacrifice meant and what it meant, you know, and what this limitless love and grace truly meant. And so I was so excited about this because when I first started to break through with a semblance of understanding, this concept is life-changing. Like life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I love the way it's set up, you know, and I kind of tried to talk through like the three movements of the verse, the first movement being kind of establishing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I read that and I'm like, yes, I know I've struggled with these things. I definitely have been following my fleshly desires and I've been seeking the world and we've talked about it already, but that statement, that pause, but God, for me, when I first started to unpack this, it's like God knew all this. He knows our trajectory. He knows our life. He knows our paths. And he is aware of all of the things that I did, right? Mm-hmm. But it was his plan, but God, because he knows his grace. He knows his love for me more than I can fathom or comprehend. And being able to live in the reality, in the awareness of the fact that, like, all of the things that I experienced before I really started to pursue Christ have shaped me, and good things, bad things, all the things. But it's the grace of that shaping and that living and being able to accept the fact that it was all a design to bring me and to make me to the man I am today. Mm. It's just such a perfect plan. Mm. And
it's amazing. It's, yeah.
And it also takes the burden off of, like, for some people, I mean, for me, and I hope if you're listening, you can hear my heart in this, is like, when you realize that without God, you are pursuing all these things, and it's your nature, it's your earthly nature, and you cannot add up to it. You cannot measure up. You cannot deserve or earn this gift. But it is given to you. Grace is given to you. And for me, it takes something off my chest, mm-hmm. right? Like, when I'm too short with, and I talked about it, when I'm short with the girls, man, I really wish I hadn't responded that way. Mm-hmm. But God covers that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require me to live up to something that I'm not capable of. And that is grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the two concepts from Ephesians that really brought it to life for me were switching my mindset from God takes old things and makes them new, which mm-hmm. is a true statement.
Right.
But what became transformative for me is that he takes dead things and makes them alive.
Yeah, preach.
Which is wildly different when you think about those two concepts.
Yeah.
Because Paul says you were dead in your transgressions and
dead.
Sins.
Right.
Not you were asleep, not you were slow or walking around in the dark. You were dead. And what do dead people do? Nothing.
Right.
They don't do anything. But God mm-hmm. made you alive with Christ and mm-hmm. seated you in the heavenly realms with him. That is a wildly different concept, that if that is true, then the response that the Christian has
yep.
is not, oh man, my self is old. Let's just get some of that Holy Spirit WD-40 on there.
Come on.
And it's going to start working right. Mm. No, you were dead, and by the same power that raised Christ from the grave,
come on,
now lives in you. You are alive and can accomplish more than you could ever ask and imagine through the power yeah. of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Mm-hmm. And the other concept was in my brain when I started talking and is currently dead somewhere else.
Well, let's raise that up, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I think, and well, so while you're thinking about it, and God is going to raise that thought back up into you.
Thank you.
It's just, if you can embrace that, then what's the only logical thing you can do? Mm. The only logical thing you can do is tell somebody. The only logical thing you can do is serve. And that's where, you know, we kind of got into works at the end. If you accept that, and if you can live in that, the only thing that can overflow from your heart is to help somebody else understand, find Christ, and accept that, because it is true freedom in every sense of the word.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, it came back. I do a generally poor job of receiving and yep. accepting God's grace.
Yeah.
I acknowledge God's grace. I recognize that it is real and it is a gift and it is free and present, but I don't allow myself to receive it and allow it to cover me.
Right.
I tend to go back to, I've got to do more.
Right.
I've got to work harder. I need to earn this. Mm-hmm. Because I think that is a natural human response. You don't want somebody to bless, you know, you're at the grocery store and your bank account's sitting at real low, mm-hmm. and some amazing person behind you says, you know what, I'll just cover this for you.
Yeah.
Right. You don't, you say
someone
no.
gives you grace.
Yeah. Yeah. They give you grace. They see your situation. And they're like, hey, man, I'm going to help you out. And we say, no, right. I'm not going to do that. I got to earn this. Mm. I think that's a pretty normal response.
Sure.
But God's grace is not something that will ever end. And it's not something that has a limit. Mm-hmm. And it's something that he wants us to take because he understands that when we accept that grace and we apply it to our lives, those things that were dead, that's when they get brought to life.
Right.
But we got to receive that grace with humility and with appreciation, with earnestness. Otherwise, we're going to be put to shame because our hope is not in the grace of Christ. Our hope is in ourselves.
Right.
Right. And there's I want to point something out in the Greek to kind of illustrate how solid this grace is. In that, and also how every future sin is completely covered by the cross and Jesus' resurrection. So the language in the Greek, and without really going into it, I just want to kind of point this out. It's translated as with, you are raised up with Christ. You are made alive together with Christ, and God raised you with him, and he also seated you with him
Christ,
in the heavenly places. The idea, and scholars tend to agree with this, is that the way that these verbs are written in with a kind of tense that they are in, grammatical tense that they're in, the union believers have with Christ is an event that has already taken place when he was raised from the dead. So, and essentially, you are then, when he is raised, you are raised and recreated. You are created new. So believers have already been raised with Christ and can currently now experience the benefits of this grace in a new life. And so it's tied to a past event. That means, and the other thing is there's this, an adjective to describe God's mercy. It is rich, right? He is rich in mercy. It means he has more than enough to go around.
Right.
So if you're really, really struggling with feeling adequate or feeling like you don't deserve it, well, hey, let's take a look at the mercy of God and just realize that there's more there than you deserve. Actually, there's so much there. He places you with him, and he doesn't just like raise you from the dead and say, all right, now get going.
Right.
He seats you with Jesus. Let me ask you a question, because we didn't read Ephesians chapter 1. Where is Jesus at?
On his throne.
He's on his throne.
Yes. I thought it was a rhetorical
question. Seated where?
In heaven, next to God.
At the right hand of God.
Pleading on our behalf.
And where does it God say that we are right now? This is a present form that ties us right back into Ephesians chapter 20, or excuse me, 1 verse 20. It's seated where he's seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Okay? And then here in this passage, he's talking about how we used to follow the prince of the power of the air. So what once had a huge influence in your life no longer influences you, and you are placed above it.
That's good.
To no longer have to succumb to its trickery, its disguise, its theft, its destruction. You no longer have to succumb to that. You are now placed in a position above it with the very one who saved you so that you can live accordingly in this new life. And I'll tell you, man, I want to be there. You know, I want to live in that every day.
Right.
I don't want to have to act like I'm cowering in a corner being beaten up by some dark spiritual force. I am a victor in Jesus because of my faith in him.
Yeah.
And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are too. You are too. Let's not live like the victim anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's live like the victors.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Paul is calling us to here. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works. What's the Hebrew word for good? Genesis 1. I know, I'm tying us all over.
I don't know Hebrew.
It's Tov.
Tov.
I was thinking it started with an A.
Yeah, it's Tov. You think, okay, let's bring Genesis 1 into this. Okay, everything that God set up was good. It was set up so that we could thrive and flourish. And it was also set up so that we could be in his presence. Do you see what grace has done? It has reestablished the connection that was broken.
That's good.
It has brought us into purpose so that we can actually produce the very thing that we were designed to produce, and not alone, but together.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what he said after he looked at all of his creation, and he said, it is so stinking good, man. This is very good. And now through Jesus, he's saying the same thing about us. This is what we were designed to do. This is what we were supposed to move into as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So I hope that's encouraging to you. That's what I want, man. I want for my life for sure.
Yeah, you're no longer dead under the power of the prince of the air.
Mm-hmm.
You are alive with the prince of peace.
Yes.
You are no longer dead with the king of lies. You are seated with the king of kings.
Yeah.
Come on.
So let that be your encouragement this week.
Yeah.
And go read Ephesians.
Go do it.
And Genesis.
Let it change your life.
And the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
go read all of the Bible.
Yeah. So pray about that. Ask God to help you see, you know, what is this workmanship you're talking about for me?
Right.
But help me see my life through the lens of grace instead of having to work.
Yeah. And just spoiler alert, we're going to finish up this series on grace this next Sunday.
Yeah, we are.
So go read Romans 5.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what Paul says about how we live in this grace.
Awesome.
So it's going to be good.
It's good.
Cool. Well, have a great
week. That's it.
We'll see you.
Landing the plane.
Blessings.